Dr. Garland Offert is the pastor of the West Chestnut Street Baptist Church, where he has been serving in that capacity for some 23 years. A native of Louisville, who grew up in Lexington and has returned to Louisville for his ministry. He's a graduate of our own institution, and for some 25 years has also been serving as a member of the faculty of Simmons University here in Louisville. We're delighted that he is here among us, and we open our hearts to him and to God's Spirit as he comes to speak to us at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Boyle. I'm also grateful also to see again some of the friends who are gathered here at this hour. And I look out on this audience and I think of former days when I used to be a part of the regular chapel hour. It's been a long time though. I see Dr. Christian. Many faces are missing today. It has been some time since I have been privileged to speak at the chapel hour. I used to speak here perhaps once or twice a year, but somehow across the years this has been abridged and other faces come and go and other responsibilities are placed upon us. But the significant fact at this moment is that we have come to worship. I said to someone as we moved through the hall, I hope that they're not expecting some strange saying. Otherwise, we'll be engaged in a Greek forum. But we're here to worship. And as you grow older in the ministry, as you have various experiences, you take this thing of Christian religion very seriously. And so we would approach this hour in that mood, a mood of sacredness and reverence. I want to read two passages of Scripture. One of them is a part of the passage just read so beautifully in our hearing, as recorded in the Epistle of Jude, beginning with the 20th verse. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The other passage of Scripture is found in Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 46th and extending through verse 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We want to speak briefly on a message to saints in times of apostasy. A message to saints or believers in times of apostasy. Jude, the brother of James and self-described servant of Jesus Christ, writes to all who share in the common faith, admonishing them to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. He gives as the reason for this injunction the fact that certain men, reprobates in mind and ungodly in character, have infiltrated into the body of believers. They may be identified by their attitudes and acts. They are murmurers, complainers. They are walkers after their own lusts, speakers of great swelling words, and exalt other men when it is to their advantage to do so. Their sole objective is to deceive believers by misrepresenting the gospel of the grace of God and drawing men away from the allegiance to the person and teaching of Jesus Christ. Rather than accepting and obeying the standard of Jesus, they set up their own standards, thus becoming guilty of going in the way of Cain. Now, Cain's way was the way of selfism and unbelief. His refusal to offer to God the appointed sacrifices for sin is sufficient proof. God has specially appointed an offering of animal sacrifices by men. Cain preferred to offer his own sacrifice and brought only the fruit of the ground. These apostates are defectors from the teachings of Christ, are not outside of the observation and scrutiny of God, for their presence had been anticipated and their doom prescribed. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied it of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, to sympathize or join those who fall away from Christ and his teachings is an act of unbelief. It is to deny Christ and follow man and Satan. The penalty not to believe Christ is destruction. The Israelites who did not believe God were destroyed. The angels who changed their habitation against the will of God are reserved in chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. I sometimes think that we of this generation who seek to change our habitation for the moon or Mars or whatsoever are in great danger of God's judgment. What we need to do is to stay right here on the earth and make this a habitable place for the sons of God. Sodom and Gomorrah are stark examples, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It is against this background that Jude exhorts believers to positive action. First, he says to them, contend for the faith. This word contend is a very interesting word, for it implies to maintain, to assert, to vie. The Lord does not want us to stand idly by when the enemies of the gospel come forward with their ungodly interpretations. We sometimes are too effeminate. We're too soft. We're too easy in the face of those who would destroy the Word of God. And Jude tells us, as inferred from what he told those ancient believers, that we should contend, maintain, and assert the truth of Jesus Christ. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Everybody has a faith of some kind or another. There are all kinds of faith in the air. We hear of many faiths in the air today. But he speaks here of your most holy faith. The Christian faith is a separate faith. It is a unique faith. It is a different faith. And those of us who call ourselves Christians ought to be interested in building up ourselves on our most holy, most separate faith. This implies growth in commitment and practice. Build up yourselves. They were not complete. They had not arrived. They must go on to perfection. But to do this, they must have a sure foundation. And the only worthy foundation is Christ and his example and teaching. Over and over today, you hear people asking, to whom should I go to find the way to life? Well, the way has already been marked out. I do not tell the people to whom I preach to come to me to find life. I do not put myself up as the source of all wisdom. We already have a criteria. We already have the way. We already have the standard. We already have the foundation. Jesus Christ is our foundation. And we need to follow his example and teaching. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We should follow the example of the mother of Jesus. You remember when the wine became scarce at the wedding party, and there was some consternation on the part of those who had charge of the affair. They wanted to avoid embarrassment, and they went to the mother of Jesus. They felt that she had a word that would help them out. And she said to them, that whatsoever he saith unto you, do. A whole lot of our problems would be dissolved if we would just do what Jesus tells us to do. You know, we have categorized men. My time's about out already, isn't it? You see, I'm used to preaching. I'm used to 45 minutes and all that. 10 minutes doesn't, you know, just don't give me much leeway. But we're used to categorizing and pigeonholing men. We think in terms of popes and bishops and moderators and presiding elders and all of that. And we go to them for advice. But we ought to go to Jesus. And whatsoever Jesus tells us to do, that we ought to do. Prayer. He enjoins them to pray. Pray, pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That's a remarkable passage. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Whatever the Holy Ghost is, let your prayer be in that. Whatever the Holy Ghost is not, don't you pray in it. I think that's a pretty good way to look at it anyhow. It might take us a long time to fathom that or to see it, but I believe we pray and keep on looking at it and keep on meditating upon it, we'll find out how to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude counseled the believers not to pray in their own knowledge. There's nothing so boring as an intellectual prayer.
And there's nothing so boring as an intellectual sermon. You're talking about turning somebody off. And maybe that is the reason some of our churches are so, you know, empty. We come before the people in our own wisdom and our own knowledge, and we look this and we look that, and the people know we don't know anything. They know we don't. They know we're just nothing. Pray in the Holy Ghost, not in our own merit, but in the Holy Ghost. And I am not ashamed to say before you today that I am a staunch believer in prayer. I have learned that there is value in prayer. There's profit in prayer. There's a way out in prayer. And some of our friends who seem to be so void of much of the culture that we possess and the learning we possess have not missed the idea at all when they say that prayer changes things. Prayer can and will change things. I remember when I was a young man, I just married, and I had walked, I was walking rather, 85 miles to go to school. 85 miles. My feet were sore. And it happened to be getting dark, and the clouds were gathering above. It was a fall day. I wanted to go back home to see my wife, but I didn't have enough money to, you know, to ride the bus, have the proper transportation, and then satisfy the needs at home. I'd sent all of it there. And here I was on a lonely road about 6 o'clock, and the storm gathering, and cars would pass me by. I was weak and faltering in the journey. And on that lonely road, as I took those few steps, I began to pray. And I didn't pray the type of prayer that we hear so much in our churches. Not that type of prayer. Mine was a down-to-earth prayer. It was a strange prayer. I think I was about 23 years old. I said, Lord, you called me to preach. I think you called me to preach. I believe that you called me to preach. And I went down to Louisville to go to school. And now I'm going back home. And I've got 25 miles more to go. And it's going to rain. And the weather's going to be damp and cold tonight. What are you going to do with me? If I'm yours, are you going to help me? And cars would pass me by and go right on. But I was too proud get out in front of them and hail them. I felt that since I was God's preacher, God ought to help me. And I walked a little distance, and finally I heard a chugging way down the road. Chug, 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 chug. Looked like the car couldn't hardly make it itself. Chug, 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 chug. And finally it got up beside me, and a voice said, say there, young fella, don't you know it's going to rain? I said, yes, sir. Looks like it. He said, well, get in the rumble seat. And it was an old Ford with an improvised rumble seat. And I got in that rumble seat, and I wasn't in that 10 seconds before the heavens opened. But as the storm raged, there was joy in my heart because I had lived to experience the power of prayer. Pray, pray, for God understands. Have faith, leaving all in his dear hands. Yes, we need to pray. We need to contend. We need also to sympathize with those who are fighting the battle, who are fighting the good fight of faith. And to sympathize or join those who fall away from Christ and his teaching is an act of unbelief. We cannot afford to to assist or to aid those who have no respect for God's word. Now the latter thought, and I'm just going to close out. You know, we must be careful as to whom we associate with. All of us have influence, we have value. And somebody is always watching us. I'm the last one who would be extraordinarily critical of the acts of any other person, say they are Christian, of their faith. But I do know that in these days, there's a falling away. Something is happening in our land. Real, heartfelt religion is being suspicioned. If one talks the language of faith, he is scorned. Should one come ordinarily into just an average group and use some phrases that the old Christians used to use? For instance, I'll see you tomorrow if the Lord wills. People have a tendency to mock them. To say that I'm going to trust in the Lord, he's going to make a way out for me, bring scorn upon us sometimes. But I want you to know that they that reverence God and they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Even in days like this, when there's a falling away, everywhere we look on the streets, there's a falling away. The elderly people have become childlike in their attitudes. They are frivolous. They are attached to the impermanent. They have lost the sense of the reality of God in their lives. And they spend their latter years as though they were in a dream. We should not associate with people who have fallen away, because sometimes they can influence us. And there are some people, and Jude tells us that we should deal with them very carefully. There are some people who are so influential and powerful in their presentation that they can weaken your faith. And what we need to do is to stay with Jesus Christ. Now, whoever obeys the will of God and whoever receives the message of Christ is like a man who builds his house upon a rock. And when the winds come and the storm arises, though great is the wind and great is the storm and great is the shaking, the house stands. But if we build upon sand, the first wind that comes brings destruction. He gives us a very beautiful benediction, and I'm going to read it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.